But ladies, hey women, let me ask you a question. Do you remember when the kids were little, those of you who are moms, and you were always a little bit nervous about leaving the baby or leaving the little one with dad? You had to go to the grocery store or do some errands, and you knew they'd be okay, but you were just a little bit nervous about leaving the baby with daddy. Maybe it was because of something like this. All right. Well, now, compare the feelings that you had when you saw the first video. What were you feeling inside? I'll tell you what I was feeling inside. I was kind of mad, right? And I was really afraid. The thought of one of my kids, the thought of any child climbing on the outside of a railing of a very tall building is a very, very scary thought for me. But that first video was special effects that are special, just like the second video was. But I want you to connect just for a minute with that feeling that you had, that first initial surge when you saw that little baby kind of up there on that. What was that? What would you call that? I'll tell you what I would call it. Call it fear. It's not anxiety. It's not nervousness. It's just plain good old-fashioned fear. But here's the thing. The first video was no more real than the second video where the kid's going through time and space with this science fiction machine and stuff. And it got me to thinking about fear a little bit. You see, here's the problem. Sometimes I catch myself being very, very, very afraid about things that I really shouldn't be afraid of, that probably will never happen, that I have absolutely no control over. And no matter how afraid I am, it doesn't change things one little bit. But then I also sometimes catch myself being very reckless, very careless, very thoughtless about stuff that I really should be fearful about and thoughtful about and careful with. You know, things like God's will, things like the condition of my soul, things like the condition of the soul of my neighbors. And I should be afraid sometimes when I'm really not. See, here's the thing. Sometimes we're not afraid of stuff that we really should be thinking about. And then sometimes we're really very afraid of stuff that really we don't need to be worried about at all. And sometimes if we get really hyped and worked up, we can even be afraid of fear itself. But then God comes along and he whispers this in our ear. This is Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. What's your reply to God when you hear that promise? I don't know about you, but I feel like I can breathe again. I feel like all the fears, anxieties, whether it's about my kids, whether it's about the future, whatever it might be, I can just kind of relax because I know God is holding me in his righteous right hand. He's holding the whole universe together. And it reminds me that I need to make a resolution. I need to make a choice. And it's the fourth resolution in this series that we've been doing, and it's this one. I choose to live by faith and not by fear. You know, I couldn't always say that, and I don't always live it. But it's a choice and a decision that I've made. And that's the fourth of four resolutions that we're looking at in this series called Choosing Your Future, where what we've been doing is we've kind of extended the whole New Year's resolution thing all the way through the month of January. And what we're doing is we're kind of looking at life-changing, life-altering resolutions, choices, decisions that we make that if you apply them and listen to them and really put them to work in your life, will change everything. Change your life for the better, not just now, but change it for eternity. And so today, we take a look at the fourth of our four resolutions. I choose to live by faith rather than by fear. Let's pray. Father, so many things sometimes can grip our hearts with fear, and we can get so nervous and wound up. But then you come along and you remind us that you're holding us up with your righteous right hand, that you're going to strengthen us and help us. Father, help us to take a step in the direction of faith and away from fear this morning. Help us understand what fear really is. Help us understand who you really are so our faith can be increased. Help us to see Jesus so our faith is just growing rapidly and we're sharing with the people that we love and even with perfect strangers. Father, help our lives to be different as we apply your word. We pray this in Jesus' name and all God's people say, amen. Well, we begin this morning, as we have every week in this series, by going back and taking a look at God's servant Moses. Our text has been Hebrews 11, chapters 23 through 27, 24 through 27, which Dennis just read for us. And let's zero in here on verse 23. We'll see that Moses chose to live by faith and not by fear. This is what verse 27 says. It says, it was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, he kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. That's Christ. Now, in my Bible, I've circled the words faith and not fearing. And the reason I did that is because I'm going to live by one or the other. I'm either going to live by faith or I'm going to live by fear. Now, both will always be present, but one will be dominant. Let me say that again. Both are present in your life, faith and fear. The question is, which one is stronger? Now, when we look at the story of Moses, what we see is that he goes nose to nose with the most powerful man on the face of the earth. They called him Pharaoh. That's a fancy way of saying he was the king of Egypt. Now, this guy wasn't a king like we know other kinds of kings today. He was a king who was actually considered to be a deity. His people considered him to be a god. He wasn't like a king of England or something like that. They thought he was actually omnipotent, just like we think of our God today. And so there was no democratic process. There was no due process. If Pharaoh didn't like you, all he had to do was point at you, and you were dead. And yet Moses goes up to him, and he goes nose to nose with him, and he says, "Let my people go because God said so." And you say, "Well, yeah, man, but Moses hadn't got the staff. It turns into the snake. We're talking about all the plagues here. You know, this Moses can part the Red Sea." He wasn't feeling any fear. Oh, don't you believe it? Let me tell you, the plagues and the staff and the snakes and the sea, that all comes, but that comes much later. When Moses is first talking with Pharaoh, all he's got is his stick and his stutter. Did you know Moses stuttered? The Bible said he was clumsy and faltering of lips. And his faith, and yes, some fear, but his faith was bigger than his fear. Why? Because his eyes were on a higher authority. His eyes were on the one who was invisible. They were on Christ. Now, if we're going to understand how Moses was able to cope with these feelings of fear while managing being right in the presence of the king of Egypt, I think we have to understand fear a little bit. There are basically three types of fear that we can look at. There's healthy fear, holy fear, and harmful fear. Let's deal with the first one first. Healthy fear, what is that? Well, that's just the fear of doing something that may be dangerous or life-threatening, like holding on to the railing 20 stories up, you know, as you're falling across the balcony or something like that. It's a fear that we learn when we're little kids to play in traffic. It's the fear that says, don't argue with the policeman. You know, just say yes, sir, and do what he asks you to do. It's a fear that keeps us, if you've learned your lesson, from behaving badly on the internet. It's a healthy fear that you could kind of describe as sort of a survival instinct. Now, let me tell you something. Moses had a big dose of healthy fear when he faced Pharaoh. He didn't want to die. He had a wife and he had kids, and he knew Pharaoh with a word could order his death. So he had a lot of healthy fear, but what he had more of was holy fear. And what we need to do is sometimes we have to manage our healthy fear, our survival instinct, so that we can honor God in holy fear. And holy fear is just fear of the Lord. It's not being terrified of God. You know, being terrified of God always leads to legalism and all kinds of sin and perfectionism. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about respecting the glory, the greatness, and the goodness of God. We're talking about Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Or as one of the modern translations puts it, respect and obey the Lord. This is the beginning of wisdom. Moses had wisdom. Moses had faith. But what he didn't, he had healthy fear and he had holy fear, but I'll tell you what he didn't have. He didn't have this thing called harmful fear. Harmful fear is fear that shuts you down. It paralyzes your faith. It makes you want to stay inside, pull the covers over your head, not talk to anybody, and it just totally just incapacitates you. That's harmful fear. It can kill the body and it kills the soul. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Some of you guys are old enough here to remember 1991, the original Gulf War or Persian Gulf War. Do you remember that? Sort of like original Coke, only not as good. It was this guy named Saddam Hussein. Do you remember this guy? He's the dictator of Iraq. And what he does is he invades Kuwait. And the whole world is watching. They say, we're not going to put up with this. We're going to come kick you out. And what Saddam Hussein says, well, if you come and you try to kick me out, what I'm going to do is I'm going to launch a bunch of missiles, Scud missiles, at Israel. And he said, and he bragged about his chemical weapons and his biological weapons and how he was just, you know, and everybody thought, this guy's lost his mind. But the world stood up to him. Well, in Israel, they're panicking. They're handing out gas masks and syringes and serums because they're thinking that this is going to be, you know, the worst thing that's ever happened. And sure enough, Saddam did launch those Scud missiles. He launched like 17 of them at them, but none of them ever had any chemical or biological weapons. He was bluffing about all that. Some people died in those missile attacks, but here's what's interesting as we talk about harmful faith. As they did an analysis of the mortality rates before, during, and after the attacks, what they discovered was that more people died before the missiles were launched from fear about what might happen than during the actual missile attacks themselves. They had heart attacks and strokes and panic attacks. It was actually this fear, this harmful fear, that killed more people than the actual missiles did themselves. It's kind of a crazy thing if you think about it. That's harmful fear. But harmful fear, with God's help and with a well-developed faith, can be managed. And it can be strong, it can be strong, but not stronger than your faith. Listen to this verse from 2 Timothy 1. The Bible says, God's Spirit doesn't make cowards out of us. You ever feel cowardly sometimes? Sometimes I do. But God's Spirit doesn't make cowards out of us. The Spirit gives us power, love, and self-control. That's what Moses had. That's what we need if we're going to choose the future that God has planned for us, the future that God always intended you to live. And so it makes sense to stop and think, wait a minute, what am I choosing? And to say to yourself, wait a minute, I choose faith, not fear. That's how I'm going to live my life. Now, why is this resolution so important? Well, I'll tell you why. Because people cannot love deeply if they're afraid they're going to get hurt. People cannot serve or give generously if they're afraid they're going to lose time or money. People cannot dream powerfully if they're afraid of what others are going to think or say. If you ask me, this business of not loving, not serving, giving, or dreaming, that doesn't sound like life at all to me. That sounds like a living dead. That sounds like being one of the walking dead or something like that. Here's the problem. Harmful fear is actually just faithlessness. That's all it really is. And buddy, I'll tell you, you know, no faith. And you're, it's impossible to please God without faith. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. The absence of faith in a life is just crushing. You won't live long without it. But let me give you one more reason why the absence of faith or faithlessness is such a big deal. It's because faithlessness always leads to aimlessness. And that's our second point. The fruit or the result of faithlessness, if you have no faith in your life and you're living by harmful fear, you're just going to be bouncing around, wandering aimlessly. You know, all month long, we've seen these stories of how Moses has demonstrated incredible faith and courage in the face of great danger. And you would think that the people would watch him and they would say, man, I want to be just like him. But what happens is the people, rather than watching and imitating Moses, they kind of do just the opposite. Now, eventually the day comes where Israel and the Hebrews are freed from Egypt. They walk out, the Red Sea parts, they go into the desert, they march toward the Promised Land, they get right up to the border of the Promised Land. And then their fear is greater than their faith. They're functioning like practical atheists. You ever see a practical atheist? That's somebody who knows God, who talks about God, who reads their Bible, but lives like God that doesn't exist. And that's what these guys are doing. 12 men are sent in to spy out the land. 10 come back, and they lie in fear. This is what they said in Numbers 13. They said, the land we explored will swallow up any who go to live in there. And all the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there. We felt like grasshoppers next to them. And that's what we looked like to them. Right? And you just panic. Can you hear the fear like dripping off the words there? Well, you know what God's response is to these guys? His first response is, enough. Enough's enough. I have, just like my mother used to say to me, I have had it with you. And you know what he decides to do? He decides to wipe them out. He says, you guys are done. And he decides just to, and it sounds rough, but this was what, he's almighty, he's a sovereign God. He says, I am eliminating the Hebrew people. And he looks at Moses and he said, Moses, you're the new Abraham. I'm going to build a nation around you, you and your wife and your kids, because these guys, I just can't take it anymore. But then what Moses does was he gets in between God's anger and the people's lack of faith.
He says, oh, God, please don't do it. Please, what do the Egyptians think? What do people say? You're an amazing, gracious, merciful God. Don't do this. And so God relents, and what he does is he permits the people to live, but this is what he says. This is his judgment. This is from Numbers 14. He says, they will never even see the land I swore to give their ancestors. None of those who have treated me with contempt will enter it. Did you catch that? When you face your future with fear instead of faith, you show contempt toward God. Incredible disrespect. And that's what happened. These guys, they trounce around aimlessly for 40 years out in the desert, just waiting to die because they chose fear over faith. Let me tell you something. Fear causes God's people to settle for camping instead of claiming. It causes God's people to settle for wandering instead of winning, for being victims instead of victory. And this is a good time to ask, do you have purpose and direction in your life? Do you know where you're going? I'm not talking about, do you have your whole life down planned down to like the last quarter hour or something? You know, you don't have to be like a mega control freak like me, you know, and like everything down to like the last 5 minutes. But it's good to plan for the future and to have goals. But if you feel a sense of wandering and aimlessness in your life, you got to stop and ask yourself, what in the world am I afraid of? If you have purpose and direction in your life, then chances are, yes, you are choosing faith over fear. And you don't always know what's going to happen, but you feel like you got a destination, and you can be at peace with that. But if the answer is no, like you're just on a merry-go-round, then you really got to stop and take a look at that. Because I'll tell you what, some of us are wandering aimlessly. We feel stuck in life. Hey, things get better for a little while. I mean, and it's like, oh, this time it's going to be different. But then you realize you're just going in circles over and over and over again. I'm telling you, that's evidence that there's something in your life that you're deeply afraid of that you need to release to God, and you need to choose to walk in faith and not in fear. You see, courageous faith doesn't happen accidentally. That's the whole point of the series, you guys. It's a choice. It's a choice to do something that doesn't make sense to anybody else, really, on the outside looking in. It's a choice to say or do something or go somewhere or stop doing something that on the surface just doesn't look like it makes sense. But you have to be intentional about it. You have to choose. You know what's natural in life? Fear is natural. You know why it's natural? Because you got this little walnut-sized thing inside your head called an amygdala, and it generates fear. And that's where your survival instinct comes from. That's natural. What's supernatural is walking by faith. And that doesn't happen all by itself. You have to make a choice. And you say, well, how can I intentionally grow in faith? Because I'm tired of being on a merry-go-round. I don't want to be aimless. I want to have purpose in my life. I'm sick of this. Well, you kind of already know the answer to that, right? You're doing it right now. Worship God. Stay in his word. Talk to him. Listen to his voice. Stick with God's people. Those are all the things that grow our faith. But I want to give you one more that I think may be very practical, that I think if some of us start to think and talk about it, may give us, at least a few of us, a little bit of a lift. Let me tell you something. The path to faith is acceptance. It's just acceptance. And you start by accepting the past. I love this phrase. You've heard me say it a million times. We learn to live with the past without closing the door on it. What does that mean? All that means is that you're learning. You're learning from your past. You're not focusing on it, but you're taking the messages of the past and you're saying and making a decision, I'm not going to do that again. That's called learning from mistakes. God asks his people this question in Isaiah 42. He says, hey, Bill, will not even one of you apply these lessons from the past and see the ruin that awaits you? If you can accept the past without being defined by the past, if you can learn from it, it helps you to be less afraid. It helps you to relax a little bit. Do you ever think about this, that the biggest mistake you ever made could be the greatest thing that ever happened to you? Have you ever given that some thought? It can be if you'll accept the past. And while you're at it, accept the present. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 6. He said, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen. God will deal with whatever things come up when the time comes, Jesus isn't saying don't have goals. He's not saying don't prayerfully plan for the future. What he's saying here is tomorrow doesn't take orders from you. What he's saying here is accept present and live one day at a time and watch your faith go up and watch your fear go down. And then finally, accept the future with obedience. Do you remember that faithless generation that died out there in the wilderness? Their bones are scattered across the desert, man. Not one of them ever saw the promised land except Caleb and Joshua. Those are the two spies who told the truth. Even Moses didn't get a chance to go in. But you know what that generation said? They said, you know what? We're not going to make the same mistakes that our parents made. We're not going to do what they did. We're going to learn from our mistakes, and we're going to step boldly into the future. We're going to claim the victory that God has given us. We're going to go where our parents were afraid to go. Joshua chapter 3. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, most of them are less than like 40 years old. The priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap in a great distance away. Then all the people crossed over near the city of Jericho. Just like God parted the Red Sea for their parents, he now parts the Jordan River. And then they cross over. Did you catch when God opened the way? When did it happen? What's the chronology of it? When their feet got wet. They didn't say, okay, God, here's what's going on. Let's have a little negotiation here. You go ahead and part thing. I'm going to stay here on dry land. Once I see it's dry there, then I'll... No! He said, you step into the water and then watch what happens. It wasn't until they were ready to take a risk, until they were ready to step into the future with obedience, that God blessed them. When was the last time you took a risk? When was the last time you got your feet wet and stepped into the future in faith? Are you at peace with your past, present, and future? That's the big question. Are mistakes from the past still dominating you? Are you afraid to leave the house in the morning because of what might happen today? Are you trying to control the future? If so, it's time to let that go and let the fear subside. You know, I was thinking about all this week, and I started thinking about a girl that I had heard about. Her name is Bethany Hamilton. She was the subject of a movie called Soul Surfer. You guys ever see that movie? I'd heard a lot about this, but we just watched it for the first time last night. It's really amazing. If you don't know the story, Bethany Hamilton was this teenage girl who was a champion surfer in Hawaii. Now, she was doing really great in the pro surfing circuit and kind of getting ready to make her big break into the big time when she's out surfing off the islands of Hawaii one day and a 14-foot tiger shark bit off her left arm. One bite, chomp, just took the whole thing off. Well, everybody says, look, you're done competing, you're done surfing, you're done even going into the water. And who could blame her? I mean, after the experience that she had, I mean, it was a miracle that she even survived. But Bethany chose faith over fear. And she learned to surf with just one arm. It's hard to do if you think about all the balance that's required. She went on to compete in the nationals, and she's a champion surfer today. And on top of all of that, she is a powerful voice for Jesus Christ. The surfing stuff is cool, but you know what I think is really cool? What Bethany did last year at the National Prayer Breakfast in April in Washington, D.C., with the entire world listening, and the President of the United States 3 feet away. This is what this young woman said. You know, it's easy to look at the things of this world to solve our problems in life, but when we submit our lives to Christ, His grace, His mercy, peace, and love bring real solutions. She said that in front of the whole world. She said that with the leader of the free world right there. You know what she could have done? She could have done what most people do when they're at those national prayer breakfasts. She could have said, you know, the pathway to real peace and happiness in life is to eat your vegetables and meditate. That's what most people do. They soften it down. They dumb it down, but not her. Why? Because she walks in faith and not in fear. Bethany Hamilton chose to get back in the water. I'm here to say this morning that some of us need to get back in the water. I know. I know you're scared. I know you've been bit and burned and hurt, probably in a relationship, probably by somebody you least expected to hurt you, but you have a choice to make. You're going to walk in faith. You're going to walk in fear. The Bible said this about Moses. One more time, back to our text. Verse 27. He persevered because he saw him. Again, that's Christ, who is invisible. You can only accomplish the impossible if you keep your eyes on the invisible. And what's the definition of faith again? Hebrews 11:1. Faith means being sure of the things we hope for and knowing that something is real, even if we don't see it. How's your faith? How's your fear? You got both. Which is stronger? Which do you choose? I don't know about you, but I choose to live by faith rather than by fear, because that's really living. So you're ready to keep these four life-changing principles that we've been talking about, these four resolutions. Do you remember what they are? Let's just go through them one more time. Remember, Moses refused to be defined by others. He chose short-term pain over long-term gain. He chose God's values over the world's values. That's what we talked about last week. And he chose to walk by faith and not by fear. Are you ready to do those things? Are you doing them already? If so, I don't know what your 2014 was like. Our family had a rough 2014, man. Kay lost her job, sent my kids to school. There are a lot of wonderful things. But I'll tell you what, I'm ready to turn the page. And my plan is to apply these four principles. Not just because Moses did them, but because Jesus did them, and he did them perfectly. And he died for me. And it's worth it. And God's given me a choice. I choose not mine, but I choose his future. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being here in our presence this morning. God, the only way we can kind of muster up the courage sometimes to go through the day is to know that you uphold us with your righteous right hand, that we're not alone. And God, we may never face sharks or pharaohs or any of the other scary things that life often throws at other people, but before this day is out, certainly before tomorrow is done, something will come along and just scare the dickens out of us. And it'll be a relative or a boss or some situation. And in that moment, Father, we pray for the presence of mind to walk by faith and not by fear. We need your, please increase our faith so we can please you. Give us the willingness to step out. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen. Well, we saw that the children of Israel claimed their victory when they got their feet wet. We do the same thing as New Testament believers. We know that God's plan of salvation includes turning away from our sins, believing that Jesus is really who he claimed to be, admitting our sins and that Jesus is our Lord, and receiving that gift of grace through the waters of baptism. And here at Lebanon Valley, we always keep our baptistry ready. It's always warm and ready to go. We have clothes and towels. If there's anybody here who wants to be baptized this morning, you can do that. Or if you're here and you just need somebody to come to your side because you're kind of scared about some stuff that's going on, we would gladly, Rich, Bill, myself, some of our ladies, we would gladly pray with you. We have a song of invitation picked out. If we can serve you in any way, come forward while we sing.